So, Lord, as we think about your truth now, we pray you would open our eyes to see how great you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So we're thinking of promises and the kind of promises that people make and the kind of things that make people not able to do what they promised. And God promised. God made promises. He made promises hundreds of years before his people, that his people Israel would occupy the land of Canaan. It would be their land. It would be their place that they could call home. A place of blessing for them. A place of blessing for their families. A place where all their needs were met abundantly. But here they were, as we've been finding out over the last few weeks, in slavery, very harsh slavery. They were being asked to make bricks, and they didn't even have the resources to make the bricks they were being asked to make. They were being really cruelly treated. And what's more, they weren't in the promised land. They were in a foreign land to them. They were in Egypt, and life was very hard. This wasn't their land. This wasn't what God had promised them. God had promised them that they would have their own place that they could call home. Well, what had gone wrong with God's promises? What had gone wrong with God's promise? Had God forgotten? Maybe he'd forgotten them. Maybe he'd forgotten that hundreds of years before he had made a promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob that their descendants would have this land that was theirs. Maybe God had forgotten, but he hadn't. Because a little bit late earlier on in from the reading that we had, this is what God said. I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. In other words, I've remembered my promise. I haven't forgotten it. I have remembered my promise. God hadn't forgotten his promise. He remembered it. But if they were still in slavery and God had remembered his promise, he hadn't forgotten it like some of us do, and we do, don't we, from time to time forget what we promised. But sometimes, as we've discovered, it's not that we've forgotten what we've promised, it's that we're not able to do what we've promised. Things get in the way, we're not able to do it. So, if God hasn't forgotten a promise, does that mean he wasn't able to fulfill the promise? Maybe Egypt was too much for him. You see, Egypt was a mighty power at the time. It was a magnificent civilization. Pharaoh was immensely wealthy. He had a huge army, very well equipped. And Pharaoh was determined not to let the Israelites go to the land that promised, that God had promised. And more than that, you know, was it that Pharaoh was too powerful for God? See, more than that, the Egyptians had lots and lots of gods. They had gods for everything. Were the gods more powerful? The gods of the Egyptians more powerful than the God of the Israelites? They had lots of gods. The Israelites only had one God. Was he outnumbered? Was he not powerful enough? Wasn't he able to fulfill his promise? Was that what was happening? Well, if you just think about what's been happening up to this point in the story of Israel, what's been happening between Moses and Pharaoh, you might be familiar with the story. You know, the Egyptians had gods for all kinds of things. They had a god of snakes. And if you're familiar with this part of Exodus, you'll know that Moses had a rod and he threw it on the ground and it became a snake. And he picked it up and it became a rod again. What happened to the Egyptian god of snakes? They had a goddess of the River Nile. Moses spoke and the River Nile became blood. What happened to that goddess? What happened to her power over the power of God? They had a goddess of frogs. Nobody wants to be a goddess of frogs, I guess. But anyway, they had a goddess of frogs. And God sent a plague of frogs on the Egyptians. Who was their goddess? What kind of power did she have against God's power? They had a god of the north wind. And God sent an east wind with locusts in it. And the locusts devoured the crops of the Egyptians. You see, what all this was showing was that all these false gods that the Egyptians had were no match to the one and living God that was Israel's God. No match at all. Because Israel's God was a true God, the living God, the only God. And nothing could stand in the way of God fulfilling his promise. Not even the power of Pharaoh and his army, not even all these false gods that the Egyptians had. Nothing could stand in the way of God's fulfilling his promises. And it's exactly the same for us today. God has promised us all kinds of things in Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says this, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." God's promises of blessing are all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God wants to give us life and forgiveness. And when we mean life, we mean God wants to get us to get to know him and how much he loves us. And that life goes on not just in this earth, in this life, but it goes on into eternity. God has promised that one day Jesus will return and we will have resurrection bodies and the whole creation will be made new. And you know what? Nothing can stop God from fulfilling those promises because he is a God who remembers and he is a God who is all-powerful. And what God longs to do, because he is also a God of love, is bless us. It's bless us. And nothing can prevent God's blessing his people. Now, maybe at times you think, yeah, Eric, that's great. But do you know what? I think God's forgotten me. I haven't known his blessing for years. I haven't sensed his presence with me as I used to do. I think God doesn't hear my prayers any longer. Do you know, I wonder if the Israelites didn't think that at times. 430 years in Egypt, many of them in slavery. I wonder if they thought, has God forgotten us? Or maybe God's not powerful enough. Maybe something's standing in the way of his promises. Well, if you feel like that, let me assure you, nothing will stand in the way of God's promises to you. He is still God, and nothing is going to stand in his way and prevent him from blessing you. Nothing. So that's why St. Paul could write in Romans these words, which I want us to finish with, because you see, our blessing doesn't depend on what we do. It doesn't depend on us kind of getting everything right in life, because let's face it, none of us do. Put your hand up if you've never made a bad choice in your life. No hands? Oh, right. One, I'll speak to you later. Put your hand up if you've never sinned, if you've never done wrong. None of us can say that, can we? All of us have fallen short. All of us. It doesn't depend on that. It depends on who God is and his goodness and his love and his power to fulfill his promises. And it depends on what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us and he rose again so that we could be forgiven and we could have new life and life in all its fullness and life in eternity. And that's God's promise. All God's promises are yes in Christ, and nothing is going to prevent those promises from being fulfilled. And that's the ground of what, for our assurance. It doesn't lie in us. It lies in God and who God is. So that's why St. Paul could write, and these are the words I want you to take away with you today. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present age nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Amen.